Well, the plan was to speak about the corrupt church in Revelation 2, 18 through 29. And we're still going to, but there's not a lot known about this church in Thyatira. And it's starting to get depressing hearing about all these churches that are doing the wrong things. I mean, they're doing some right things, but they're doing some wrong things. And as I was looking and reading about this week and next week, I thought, next week's the dead church. And I thought, corrupt church, dead church, let's just throw them all in a basket and talk about them all today. Because then next week we'll be able to talk about the loving church. And so today we're going to read a little more scripture than I had planned. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. Brass, back in this time, it was symbolic of judgment. Throughout the Bible, when it talks about brass, it's pretty symbolic of judgment. And so, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, he says this, I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. Is it too late? No, still saying, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. That's a pretty scary line right there, isn't it? Some of us have everyone fooled. And when I say this, I said some of us. I didn't say some of you. Some of you have everyone fooled. No, some of us, as Christians, as the church universal, some of us have everyone fooled, but we will not fool him. He knows every mind and every heart. He knows the depth of your being. And I will give to each one of you according to his works. You know, he knows our minds and our hearts. Here's a follow-up to the children's message today. You can never be good enough, and you can never be bad enough. Is that pretty cool? This guy thought he was pretty bad, and so there's no hope for me. And this scripture, and this story that Don shared, it reminds us, you're never good enough for God, and you're never bad enough that He won't forgive you. And even here it says that there's still hope. I will give each one of you according to your works. We're saved by grace through faith. But once we're saved for good works. We're saved to do good works. We're saved to tell people who are on their way to hell that there is hope and there is heaven and how to get there. Sometimes it takes doctoring them to do this. Sometimes it takes going to the mission and feeding them for them to be able to listen to you about Jesus. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, So I have written in my notes here that verses 21, 22, and 23 that we just finished, those are written to the cult. The whole letter is written to the church in Thyatira. You understand that? But there's three different groups of people within this church that God's addressing. You see, the first part was to you who are following that Jezebel, probably not the person's name. Jezebel in 1 Kings chapter 19, Jezebel is the one who was chasing Elijah, and Elijah hid under the broom tree, and he was so depressed because Jezebel was trying to kill him. And Jezebel here probably just, nobody names their daughter Jezebel. Did you ever known a Jezebel? I mean, you may have known one, but anybody with the name Jezebel? Jezebel died 1,000 years, lived and died 1,000 years before this is written. So it's more than likely not the name of a person, but it's like we say that Jezebel, that floozy, that whatever. And kids learned a new word today. That woman. So that was written to the people who were doing wrong. Now, verses 24 and 25. Now, to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my words until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Well, actually, I have 26, 27, 28, 29. I have in my notes here, it's written to conquerors. So we'll finish this out. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. And I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. There's various explanations for this morning star, but most scholars say that that is Jesus. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So that's the corrupt church of Thyatira. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, a little more is known about Sardis. Sardis sat down in a valley, and it was surrounded by mountains, and there was just one little path coming down in. A path, it was so small and so hard to get into Sardis that they just put a couple centurions up there, and they could keep watch and guard. The city would seem to be impenetrable, but twice the city was conquered. And that's because the city, they were so sure of their security. This city was so sure that it was a secure city that they didn't really keep watch. And so twice this city was taken over because it was pretty much cliff walls all around it. But twice, when they were overtaken, they weren't overtaken by the main path into the city, but they were overtaken by people scaling down, armies scaling down these walls and overtaking the city. So with that in mind, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God. And the seven is just a number of fulfillment in the Bible. It's a number of completion and perfection. So whenever you see seven, sometimes it doesn't mean 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It might, the perfect spirit of God. So these things, it says, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. There was this place when I was growing up, where I grew up, they had TV commercials all the time. It was a carpet company, Mark Christopher Carpet. Isn't that funny? I still remember that. And it says, We're standing on our reputation, and so can you. That was effective advertising. That 40 years later, I can remember Mark Christopher Carpet. We're standing on our... Isn't that catchy? We're standing on our reputation, and so can you. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. And that just comes to mind. Sometimes we have a reputation for something good or something bad, and it's no longer the case. I talked to someone the other day, and they said, "Oh, I've got stories about that person," but then I think perhaps they've changed. People who, the reason that pastors aren't normally assigned to pastor churches in their own community is because everybody knows everything about you. People know I was streaking when I was 13. People know, well, I won't go into everything they know. So they say you're alive, the scripture says. You have a name that you're alive, but you are dead. Be watchful. You see, be watchful. You see what it means to this city of Sardis when he says, be watchful? Because they know twice they've been overtaken. Why? I mean, they could have very easily stopped the intrusion, but they weren't doing what? They weren't watching. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. These things that remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Whose are? Nobody's are. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled the garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so ends today's scripture. In both instances here, to the church in Thyatira and to the church in Sardis, it's a pretty convicting sermon, if you will. But is it to everybody? I mean, it sort of is to everybody. Here's what I have written from that. Sometimes the sermon is for your encouragement so that you know you're on the right path. And sometimes the sermon or the message is to convict you. Here, the people don't decide. I don't decide if I'm living in Thyatira or Sardis at the time. I mean, it says in Scripture, by your fruits you will be known. I can look at some people and say, boy, they seem like they're not really Christians. You do that, right? Don't leave me out here alone. What they say doesn't... You know what they say the most important thing about a pastor is? That what they say matches up with what they do. They say that's the most important thing about a pastor. What they say matches up with what they do. I would argue it's the most important thing about a Christian. That what you say is what you do. And you're not going to do it perfectly. But when you mess up, then you say, Lord, I'm sorry. Or maybe you say, brother, I'm sorry. And you go on. And every day, it's a new day. And every day, there's a new chance. And Dawn has this great story from work where she talked about this guy and he accepted Jesus. And I'm not going to put you on the spot here, but speaking from my own life, I've got great stories, and then I've also got stories where I think, I wish I had. I wish I had said. I wish I had asked. Imperfect. And so I can look at others and think this or think that, but and sometimes I'm going to be right and sometimes I'm going to be wrong. It's up to each one of us to decide what the purpose of the message is. Which group do I fall into? You see, last week I had someone say to me, several people have left the church because they feel like you've called them Pharisees. I said, this is just perfect for today. I said, let me ask you a question. If I preach about money next week, do you think Betty Goff's going to be offended if I preach about money? Or are you going to be offended if I preach about money? I don't think so. You know why? Why do you think she's not going to be offended if I preach about money? Because she gives to the church, to the mission, to whatever. She's pretty secure in her giving. And I didn't say to the person last week, do you think Betty Goff's going to be... I just said, do you think that people who tithe to the church get upset? Because when preachers preach about money, there's all kinds of grumbling and complaining. Everybody who goes to church very long knows that, right? When you preach about money, there's a lot of grumbling and complaining. It's not the tithers who are grumbling and complaining. Who's grumbling and complaining? The ones who are having their heart pricked because they don't give. You see, there's God sending this word to the church, and you decide which message is for you. You decide when I talk about giving, that's an encouragement to you. I'm on the right track. You see? When I talk about giving, my wife is not going to get upset. We don't feel guilty. I mean, I'm not saying that there are preachers who don't tithe to the church. I can't understand that. I think that should, if you don't tithe to the church as a pastor, I don't think you should be the pastor. I think that should disqualify you. So, Diana isn't going to get upset. It's the people who feel like this part of the message isn't an encouragement, but rather it's a conviction. And some people are going to take that, this Jezebel thing. If you just repent, it's not too late. And some people, so I said to this person who said, people have been leaving the church because they feel like you're calling them Pharisees. Do you see where I'm going with this? If I preach about Pharisees, first of all, I said to the person, I am the chief sinner. That's what Paul said in the Bible. I am the chief sinner. I have this angst, this holy angst between, I know we're saved by grace, I know we can never be good enough, but now that I am saved, how am I living my life? And so when this is written, I'm thinking, nobody but you and the Lord, and technically nobody but the Lord, decides which category you're in. But certainly no one else decides. I don't decide which category you fall into. You decide which category you fall into. You decide if this is a word of encouragement or if it's a word of conviction. Yes.
The scripture says if the minister doesn't warn the people, teach the people of their sin and so forth, he's responsible because he's our leader. He's responsible if he doesn't do that. But But if he does warn the people and so forth, and it steps on their toes and they don't pay any attention, then they're responsible.
Thank you. And so their warnings come, and you decide if that, you know, sometimes you'll be sitting in church and you'll say, especially like husbands and wives, and if one or the other, and it's normally the woman who comes to church and normally the man doesn't, and you'll be, or not even husbands and wives, but have you ever, and don't raise your hand, but have you ever been sitting there thinking, boy, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this today? You ever been thinking that? Boy, it's a shame I didn't get so-and-so to church today, because they could have really... And sometimes I make fun of that. No, this message is for you. But sometimes that is exactly the case. You don't need to hear this as a conviction, because you have not given in to this Jezebel, Scripture says. And so to you who overcome, that first part's not for you. But, so I said to this person, so if they think that I'm calling them Pharisees, then I think that there's something there. They're not sitting there thinking, boy, I'm glad he's not talking about me. See, there are people in this church who are, the whole church is hearing this letter, and he says there's three parts here. There's you who are following Jezebel, and you know who you are. There are you who are following Christ and have not given in to this way of the world, or the way of Sardis, or the way of Thyatira. And there are you who are overcoming. I sort of take it as there are you who are involved in this sin, this depth of Satan. There are you who are tempted by it, but haven't given in. And then there are you who have overcome. That's mostly when you're dead. Because the rest of the time, we're tempted. Every church is full of all kinds of people. And every Sunday, at every church, people can take things as a word of encouragement, or people can take things as a word of conviction. And I'm not the one who decides. I just throw it out there. When our boys were young, Adam had horseback riding lessons, and we did all these different things. It's like just throwing things against the wall and see what sticks, whatever they like to do. Adam played middle school football. He didn't play high school football. And in my sermons, when I'm preaching from the Bible, I throw stuff out there. Like, if I preach about people who, you know, the average church person goes to church 1.7 times a month. 1.72. Nationwide, I'm not talking about our church specifically. Nationwide, the average church person goes to church 1.72 times per month. That's less than twice a month. Now, some of you, if I preach that, some of you are going, that's pathetic. Well, he's not talking about me. Even when I'm on my vacation, I go to church. And others, on any given Sunday, right? Others are sitting there going, ugh. And it's not that I'm throwing stones at anyone. Believe me, I've had my turn at 1.72 times per month. I was one of the 1.72% or 1.72 times per month crowd at one day, at one time. And I know I'm not talking about if you're sick, and I'm not talking about if you're taking care of an elderly mother. You know what I'm saying? Logan, I said this morning to Logan, now Logan's probably here 1.72 times per month at 8:30, but he will also be here at 11, and he very rarely misses 11. So you're not convicted right now, right? No, because he hardly ever misses church. He just doesn't always come at 8:30 because he always sets his alarm. He always has the best intentions, but typically he's 18 years old. I give you props for the 8:30 mornings you are here. Jacob, I give you props for the 8:30 mornings you're here. I know. He said, I'm half asleep half the time. 100% of those 3.9 times a month that he's here, he's half asleep. So, what was the message you heard today? That every church is made up of different groups of people, and just because I preach about this sin, it's like I said about the old bags and tea. I'm not necessarily talking about the people who go, but I'm not precluding them either. You decide if you're an old bag, right? I'm not going to call you one. I'm not going to call you out in church, but if the Word calls you out in church, it's not my issue. Whose issue is it? It's yours. It's your issue. If I talk to people, if I say, you know, boy, we never go out and talk about Jesus, Don's going, yeah, I sort of do. So I'm not talking to you. But when I say we're called to do that, you can be encouraged that you are doing that. And are you doing it perfectly? No. But boy, do you have moments of victory? Absolutely. And so these letters to these churches, it's hard to take. But if we're doing something wrong, we need to hear about it. And if we're doing something right, then he's not talking to us. Amen? It's an encouragement when you hear how we're supposed to be living. When I hear how we're supposed to be living and I'm thinking, I'm going to the mission on Thursday. But I hear things about pride. You know, I got to end this because we have communion. Just in full disclosure here about where sometimes I think God's working on me. Last year, the attendance for the year was 186. When I filled out the paperwork, I said last year it was going to be 200, this year it's going to be 250, next year it's going to be 300. And last week it was 129. You know what I think the Lord's doing? What? I think He's working on me. I think He's thinking, I'll decide how many people are going to be there. You won't. I think He's going, I'm going to humble you a little bit. Does it mean I still don't preach the gospel just like I do? No. He works on all of us. Some of the things I say to you, it's like, oh, the Lord stepped on my toes before He told me to tell it to you. And other things, I'm going, well, this is for somebody out here, but this isn't for me. And so, these two churches, that's what I want you to glean from this, is that sometimes the Lord's talking to you through a sermon, and sometimes the Lord's encouraging you, and sometimes the Lord's convicting you, and I believe there's always something in it for every one of us. Now, we're going to have communion now. Some people think they're not worthy to come up for communion. And John Wesley was of the attitude that you're right, and you're the only ones that should be coming up. Do you get that? He says, If you think that you've got it all figured out and that you're the ultimate Christian, you should probably stay away from here today. Because this is only for people who are willing to admit their need. This is only for people who are willing to say, I know I'm not worthy. And I'm not a good person looking to get a little bit better, but I am a sinner looking to be saved. Or I am a sinner who has been saved. And that's who is invited to come to the table today. All who love Jesus. So let me pray. God, I pray that this message today was taken exactly how you intended, and I pray that every person heard exactly what you wanted them to hear, including myself. I pray that where we need to hear about where we need to change, that you would continue to work on us. And where we are seeking you, even imperfectly, where we are living for you, even imperfectly, I pray that you would just use messages like today to encourage us to keep traveling that path. I thank you for great testimonies like we heard today, and I pray for the day that different people want to stand up front and talk about how you have done mighty and awesome things just as Dawn did today. And God, I know that she takes no credit for it, but I know that she gives you the glory. But we thank you that she was obedient. And we thank you for a soul that was added to the rolls of heaven, and we will meet that man one day. For those here today who perhaps feel like they don't know you as Lord, I pray that you have been working on them and they heard a salvation message today. And they just want to cry out, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. May the shed blood of Christ cover my sins. And may from this day forward, may I live for you. And for the rest of us who call ourselves Christians, which is the most of us, Lord, help us to take away hope found in you, that there is still time and that you are still at work. So we ask and pray this in Christ's name. Amen.